This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to win, no matter what. Like, I'm an ultimate competitor. I want a chance. And now I don't want to join the damn Chiefs and get a Super Bowl. That would mean absolutely nothing to me. I want to be a part of winning in a culture that is about winning. And that's all that matters to me. At the end of the day, like, I want to be in the Hall of Fame, and I want to go, and I want to.
And you deserve it. You shouldn't feel bad about doing what you want to do.
No, absolutely.
And
I don't. I don't feel bad about it. I want to be a Super Bowl champ and a Hall of Fame.
That is Raiders All-Pro edge rusher Max Crosby joining Kay Adams earlier this week. I do enjoy that.
Like, I liked that.
Yeah, I enjoy that. Myles Garrett has dominated much of the airwaves here in Buffalo for the past few weeks, and especially this week, mainly due to the fact he's openly acknowledged, I want out. And then has spent all week, Derek, I don't know if you've listened like to too much of like his appearances on everywhere on Radio Row. He has pointed out his arguments why he's done the whole thing. Like, I'm done. Crosby's not yet done that. I think also even in that interview too, he mentions that like he's had good talks with the Raiders, so he may not.
The Raiders are also not a disaster as Cleveland is.
Saying something. Cleveland feels like a pit that they can't get out of.
And that's saying something considering they have a similar record.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the fact that he said, no, I don't want to join the Chiefs.
It won't mean anything.
It feels hollow probably to him. But I think also it has to do with rivalry. He is sick of them.
Yep.
He is sick of getting hit by them in the mouth. And it turned into, oh, no way, I ain't doing that with you.
Yeah, I'm not. Well, and
I want to slay the dragon, not be the dragon.
I think I like it too. There's always, I hear it a lot with soccer commentators talking about, like, for some guys, it's a passion, for others, it's a job. You know, some guys won't embrace the rivalries and, you know, they don't really care. They'll go anywhere. Then there are other people, Max Crosby, Saquon Barkley, I think, to a different extent. They embrace the rivalries. I think Barkley did go to the Eagles for a very specific reason, which was to stick it to the Giants. I think Crosby won't go to the Chiefs ever for a very specific reason. He wants to stick it to the Chiefs specifically.
He wants to stick it to them. And there's different ways to do that, but also, who knows what happens if he stays or goes. And that's going to be plenty of conversation that I'm going to love talking about when it comes to Garrett or Crosby. With interest from the Bills.
Yeah. If you add either of them, I think it's a wonderful addition. Pay dividends for the years to come, because they both got Garrett's not going to turn 30 until next December. Crosby will turn 28 going into next season. I think his birthday is in August.
Yeah, there's opportunities.
But you've seen edge rushers age really gracefully. Vaughn, the second ACL tear kind of ruined it for him. But guys like Reggie White leave the Eagles at, I think, 32 years old and put up continually. I think he was a Pro Bowler every year with Green Bay when he went there. Obviously went to Super Bowl with them. That position, I think specifically, ages really, really gracefully. And it's one the Bills have needed kind of since the beginning with Bean and McDermott.
Yeah, does Nate need a hug?
Yeah. But they've kind of needed it since the beginning. And while I think ultimately now you can look at the Von Miller signing, it's a bit of a failure. Those first 10 games, because he gets hurt on Thanksgiving.
Those first 10 games were as advertised.
That's exactly what you wanted. You got the six sack total performance opening night against the Rams, which at the time, and many of us, that's one of my favorite Bills games of all time, because it felt like a coronation, that this was going to be their year. Look what they're doing to the Super Bowl champion on their home turf. This is unbelievable. And then the Chiefs game later on in that season, still early in the season, he makes the crucial play to end it. That's why you paid him the money. And we've seen Bean get very aggressive, even in deals that don't turn out. I had a caller for Show and Bulldog bring up Antonio Brown and the fact that, like, well, we saw how aggressive Bean was willing to be. No, did the Antonio Brown deal go down? No. But then he just went and got Diggs, and he's made signings for Von Miller. I think if they can make the cap work,
which
he will do what it needs to be done to go get a guy like Garrett. He even mentioned in his exit press conference talking about, you know, Chris Jones's don't grow on trees. You know, they're not really available all that much. Well, one of them, in a sense, is.
Two of them probably
potentially
are.
Yeah.
And there's another player in there, in Micah Parsons, but, you know, that's a conversation for neither here nor there.
I never know what Dallas is doing.
Exactly.
I never know what Dallas
is doing. That's why I would be remiss if I didn't include him.
And he would be fun. The only issue, you have to pay him, but you're paying for his prime. I think he's 24, 25 years old.
Worth it.
And,
yeah, he's 25.
And you'd be paying for a guy who, not once in his career, has he had under 10 sacks.
Yeah.
You're getting a guy that can be straight up a finisher across the board for that defensive line. Let's get connected to our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia. Shop online at northtownkia.com. 803-0550 is the number to call. We'll start off today with Ken on the line. Ken, you're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling in.
So I felt when I watched that show last night and saw Josh Allen win it, I know Josh Allen plays it down, but you can tell how much it meant to him. Anybody that has heard him speak know, you know, what he's built on motivation. Yes, he wants a Super Bowl ultimately, but he has tried so hard since before the draft, before college, to prove that he's a quarterback. And people did nothing but doubt this guy all his life. And I can't forget, too, the draft day when he got drafted and I was watching. And Troy Aikman was on there going, I don't like the pick. And they're like, well, why not? And he's like, look, I've always said there's one thing. He can be this, he can be that. He goes, but you cannot teach accuracy.
Yes. Yep.
There's no way he's a quarterback. He's not a franchise guy, in my opinion. They missed the mark. He was pining for the other Josh, which we all know what happened to Josh Rosen. And it seems funny to me that the two guys, forgetting Josh Rosen, out of that equation, look who came to the top. You got Josh Allen, who everybody doubted, and Lamar Jackson. And they've got MVPs. Where are the other guys that were taken ahead of them, behind? I mean, just not on the same caliber. And when I sit there and look at this guy now, finally got the recognition, which I think he should have got at least last year, if not even the year before, for an MVP. And he got snubbed the 1 year, even for the Pro Bowl, which was ridiculous. I think that was the same season as the 13-second game. We sit there and look at the things also that he's done in this league. They've changed the rules because of these guys when they played the Chiefs. They changed the overtime rule. They're talking now about changing the rule for the 1 year, if you make the first down or not now, by putting the chip in the football. It seems like you get the recognition that way, but then he gets snubbed for all his other accolades. I felt pride in watching him get it. I think it made the Bills base feel the pride, not only in themselves, like you said, of the season, but we feel so much for Josh that when he got it, I could feel it for him. And to know that Burrow hasn't gotten one yet, you can go down the list, Goff, all these talented, great quarterbacks, and Josh got placed there finally before them to get his recognition. I just thought that spoke wonders for the town, for us as fans. And, it made us, missing the Super Bowl sucks. But this was the second thing that I wanted most. If we weren't going to get the Super Bowl, I really wanted him to get the MVP and get the recognition he deserves.
Yeah, absolutely, Ken. Thanks for the call.
Ken, thanks for the call.
I love the point, because I was going to make it regardless, but I'm glad Ken did. So for me with sports, Derek, I gravitate towards stories. I'm a big reader. I like movies. I like TV shows. I like stories. And that's what kind of gets me to sports a lot of times, is I think there's no better, and I don't say this, you know, rudely, I don't think there's any better reality television show than sports. And that's what Allen and Lamar were. They were the beaten down underdog stories. Lamar, yeah, had college success. But the moment he left Louisville, I mean, we all remember the 2018.
Drafted 32nd overall.
Yeah, we all remember the 2018 draft, you know, process that went on there. Lamar should turn to a running back or a wide receiver.
Bill Polian, of all people saying it.
He's not even going to run the 40. He's not even running the 40 at the combine, purely to not give teams a number that he could run. And I don't know if he just wasn't available or what have you, but it was the day before the draft. They had four quarterbacks sitting with, I want to say it was Rich Eisen, I can't remember who was presenting, but it was four quarterbacks sitting there. and Lamar was out. And to me, it always felt weird. I was not necessarily a guy that ever thought the Bills were going to draft Lamar. I thought he was too similar of a game to Tyrod, who they just
and
moved
I
on from.
I wanted – they hadn't moved on yet, actually. Had they?
Yeah, they had traded him at the time.
That's right.
So that's where I was like, all right, Lamar's not – he's too similar of a game to what Tyrod was. I think they're going to want to go something different. It's a lot with new coaches where if you fire a defensive guy, you're likely going to go offensive. Mm-hmm. But that was my whole thing. So I never really put Lamar there. I've also been open. I was a Darnold guy. His Rose Bowl performance against Penn State, I was sold from that day on. I didn't really care about the turnovers. I was there.
Ken mentioned with Josh Rosen. Joe DiBiase and I, we had done Sports Thunder that night, and we were pissed.
Were you guys both Rosen guys?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
We were upset, but we had to carry on and go, okay, let's find a way to at least try to – what's the rose-colored glasses scenario look like? Well, not what we expected. I'll tell you that.
And it's if you were an Allen guy from day one, credit to you. Credit to you. I loved his stories when he was drafted, but I couldn't imagine your guys' job that night trying to find a rose-colored glasses for a guy who didn't complete 60% of his passes in college and ultimately, let's be honest with ourselves, had to reinvent his game. And I think that to me is maybe my favorite part of Allen is night and day. You watch his rookie year or his second year highlights – and then you flip on 2020, that is a different dude. It is a different throwing motion. It is a different mannerisms that he is using as a quarterback. You can actually trust that he will throw the ball and consistently. And if you talk to a fan in 2018, to a fan this year, talking about why are we throwing less with Josh Allen, that 2018 fan's going like, why are you throwing with Josh Allen? Let him run.
Yeah.
Just let him run. He's a gazelle.
But the other part of this has to do with every week, you seem to get a Bills fan that goes, man, I was wrong about him initially. And it happens every week.
Yeah.
Like that someone publicly admits it or readmits it. Like how many times have I said it at this point? Well, I mean, I like to make fun of myself.
Yeah.
But
it's all right.
For me, this has to do with what the kind of impact that the player has happened to have now. And what Ken brings up there about like how he felt happy about that. Someone tweeted at me earlier saying, like, man, I needed this.
Yeah.
Like, fans feel the need to feel it. And there's your story right there. How a quarterback helps a fan base go from a 17-year playoff drought and helps with the transition. He didn't break it. That's Tyrod. I will always give that to him.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you ever complain about my drop breaker. But the transition from being this team with the longest drought in NFL history and then transitioning into one of the best teams of their current era. Like I said, there's a generation of kids that don't know the Bills being bad.
Yeah, they only know what it's like, when's the playoffs? That's what we're waiting for.
There's you and me as kids.
Yeah.
Not knowing what Bills in the playoffs even meant.
And to a certain extent, and I've been open about it, and you know, it is what it is. Like, for a long time, you just kind of didn't think that that was your role as a sports fan.
But
you know, I'm a Bills fan. We don't root for the playoffs. You know, we're here for snow games, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And, like, the occasional upset that, you know, look at that spunky underdog. Like, it...
Yes, and the underdog, the underdog thing.
And I think as well, too, and you know, to finish up Ken's point here, too, with Lamar as well, I love how both of these guys have changed how you think of both franchises.
Yes.
Josh Allen has now made you look at the Bills and think, well run, should have more. You know, like just the whole thing, always in the playoffs, going to be a great game. We're talking about
one of the most tragic bridesmaids that there is.
Yeah, but we're also talking about the international games. They should be in one of them because they've got this guy there. Like they, look how marketable they are. And then Lamar Jackson, it was a team that, like, you never once thought of offense for them. The most offense you get to is Jamal Lewis and, for a few years, Ray Rice. And that and outside of that,
or Joe defense. Flacco with the pixie dust.
Yeah, but you thought defense. You thought Ray Lewis, Terrell Suggs, Ed Reed, you know, Marshall Yanda, like all these
Chris
guys.
Chris McAllister.
Yeah, and now it's like, no. Lamar's putting up numbers that – he's going to rewrite the Ravens record book for a quarterback.
As
but
he
he's putting up NFL records. And it's just, it is amazing that it's those two guys.
the two most maligned of the draft class.
Yeah, because honestly, let's go back to the 83 class, which they were always compared to. Elway was considered basically the best quarterback prospect of all time. He turned out to be a really damn good quarterback.
Right.
Dan Marino, in his junior year, led college in touchdown passes. They had a less talented team his senior year, and he threw more picks than interceptions, and people want to start steroid rumors. But outside of that, I think undoubtedly those two were considered like the best talents.
Mm-hmm.
They happen to be the best talents in that class. It wasn't necessarily too surprising. Alan Lamar being the two best talents of that class?
Often the
That's
two
a little surprising. And especially when you add in the fact that let's not act like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield are bad quarterbacks. Darnold has his issues, but he just threw for 4,000 yards and is going to get paid. And Baker's got a big contract and 2 years in a row has taken Tampa to the playoffs. He's won playoff games with both Cleveland and Tampa, multiple 4,000-yard seasons. He's a dude.
But both of them are rejuvenations.
Yeah, they've had to rebuild it.
They are not, like you said, the ones that transformed a franchise.
Yeah.
Cleveland could have been if they were patient with him,
mm-hmm.
with Mayfield. But the Jets are still the Jets. As a matter of fact, that's a great way to get comeback player of the year votes is to just have formerly played on the Jets.
His face did not say that he thought that was funny. That man was hurting. That man was hurting when Snoop made that joke.
But that's why, because it hurts. Apparently playing on the Jets just does something to you.
Yeah, bad ownership will do that. 803-0550, the number two call. Scott, we'll get to you if you hold on to the line. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer in for Sabres Live and One Bills Live. So we'll be on until 3 o'clock. You're listening to WGR.